The following Dharma talk was recorded in May 2014 in Excelsior Spring, Missouri. It is one of 21 recordings from the retreat called Insight Dialogue, taught by Gregory Kramer. The retreat was sponsored by Mid-America Dharma. If you like this recording, you can find more talks at www.midamericadharma.org. For questions, we welcome your emails sent to info@midamericadharma.org. Gregory Kramer is the founder and guiding teacher of Metta Programs and has been teaching insight meditation since 1980. He developed the practice of insight dialogue and has been teaching it since 1995. Gregory is the author of numerous books. Find out more at www.metta.org.
I'll share a phrase with you. In the beginning was the Word, right? And the world comes out of the Word. And so you're right at the beginning, the genesis of that. And then that whole proliferation is going to reveal the patterns of whatever is to be revealed in that moment. Because it's always shifting. It'd be one thing one minute, one thing the next, and certainly the next day or the next 50-minute session, it's going to be different. Mm-hmm. But it's at that boundary of the words and the wordless. Mm-hmm. Now there's the approach to that boundary that you're talking about is just this dropping into the wordless as if by grace, you know, so it happens. Why did it happen now? Forget about it. Who cares, right? It happened. And I liken it to death or a coma and then coming out again. Or in more meditative terms, entering jhana and coming out again. It's at those crossing points where the world building is reinstated, reinitiated, that you see the world building. Right? So it's no longer the world, it's the built world. You know it's built. Those are potent, potent moments. But there's another model that you were talking about, which is that you're sort of surfing the sort of the membrane between the two, right? And so the dipping in and out either way with each pause could be right now, who knows, right? And therein lies a kind of access to insight, because in each dipping into the construction of this world, there's no believing of it. You're too close to the awareness that's not doing it, right? And so the this quality of practice, which is within your grasp, within your reach, is absolutely possible. Right? And there's still going to be, depending on your background, a running out, for example, of the steadiness of mind. If you have a background with a lot of, let's say, silent meditation practice where you've really dropped in and stayed for a while, then in insight dialogue, you'll probably be served by that samadhi, that concentration coming back up. But it's not a clamped on concentration at all. It's just a steadiness of being with what's present. So, and sometimes these moments, as you're describing them perhaps, will be very brief, like something happens in therapy, there's a moment like, you know, the non-conceptual or non-cognitive or the non-cogitating awareness. And then fairly quickly up comes all kinds of things. From the therapist, it might be, oh, I'm supposed to be doing something here, right? And that might, that would be very common and understandable problem, you know. There's a fee structure and there's this, all kinds of assumptions that are different from meditation, but still, the sense of getting something done or that I have to do something. But also from the client, you know, maybe there's not the steadiness that endures. And if there's not the training that allows that suppleness or that continued noticing as you come back into the constructing process and all the personality and all the chunks begin to appear, you know, then pretty soon you're in the back in the sea of flotsam and jetsam, and you know, that's how it is. And that seems real, intractable, and so on. So those are beautiful twin observations. Thank you. That's such a beautiful description of being sensitive. You get more mindful, and then all the stuff that you're sensitive to actually can be really bothersome. And bothersome is a kind word for it, you know. Pain in the ass, oppressive, you know. You're recoiling, but then the mindfulness wants to be here, but we're so sensitive. You're so sensitive is what I'm hearing you say. So I really completely honor and acknowledge that and want to really frame it as a kind of a being born into the world, you know, like the baby comes out and the baby is tender. You ever seen a baby born? You know what I'm talking about, you know? The skin with the goo all over it, just anything touches, the air comes into the lungs and the lungs are on fire. It's like that. Every sound. Before it was in a muffled womb, and now it's like, whoa. If it's unfortunate enough to be born in a regular hospital room, it's like intense, right? So, if I could offer that for practice, this is a really brilliantly extreme validation of this teaching that the pause alone is not enough. You need pause, relax. So that when, as the mind, the body, because the body and mind work together, as the mind is more alert, the body is more sensitive, and as the mind gets more, as the body is more sensitive, the mind can catch the messages that it's sending, so the mind can become very alert. But if there's just the mindfulness, we are too sensitive. The Buddha certainly didn't just teach mindfulness, I can assure you of that. It was key, it was king in some sense. It was named that. But it has to come together with other qualities. And this can be cultivated. In the same way that mindfulness is sort of lost in the noise of life, and so we work to bring it back, we work to remember what's naturally ours. You understand? You with me? Okay, so it's already here, but we kind of get cut off from it, right? Same way with the calming, the down regulation, the stabilizing of the mind. This is something also that the body-mind knows how to do and forgets. So the same way that you train in mindfulness, even though it's a natural thing, you train in it because we've forgotten. You train in serenity. Do you understand? Well, that's a good answer, because how is completely a valid question, especially how when I'm just so sensitive. It's like, whoa. Sometimes it's good to just retreat.
I try to focus on the pulse.
Yeah.
And I just try to focus on the pulse, but
and
everything just was
sometimes
so
the pulse
loud.
Will be sometimes the pulse will be too subtle. So can you feel your butt? Butts aren't so subtle.
It's kind of numb at the moment.
Okay. Okay, so pay attention to the numb. No, seriously, right now, pay attention to the numbness, my little numb butt friend. I'm paying attention to my numb butt. We can do it together. I am, are you? Okay. It's kind of chunky, right? You can catch it. It's not subtle like the pulse, right? So just, here it is. And it's simple. Now, the numbness is not necessarily comfortable. But this can be received. Just, oh, just receive. Receive. Allow. And from there, you know, elsewhere and so on. What I want to really point out, and this is relevant for all of us, this is exactly the kind of gift I'm talking about, where one person speaks like this, and it touches all of us, every one of us, because at some point or another, you may or may not, I don't know, touch an acute sensitivity. In this retreat, maybe you already have, I don't know. And we all have varying levels of baseline sensitivity and varying ways of dealing with it based on perhaps prior meditation practice or, you know, other things that we do that we don't even necessarily know we're doing to cope. We twiddle our thumbs, we tap our foot, we get ignorant. Because it's too much, right? So the mind gets noisy, so we don't notice anything. That's how the sensitivity gets dulled by life. It's too much. And so if we can't make enough noise ourselves, we bring in the alcohol, we bring in the heroin. And if that doesn't work, we commit suicide because it's unbearable. I mean, I'm taking the extreme because it's all one thing. It's this, get me out. Right? Get me out. And that's all of us. So you're speaking for all of us because we're all sensitive. The Buddha called this vibhava tanha, the urge to not be, to not become, to get out of becoming, to get out of this. So you didn't know you were a Buddhist teacher, did you? I'm just giving you the words.
I've been called a lot of things.
Yeah. Yeah. So you give the actual experience, I just give it some words. But this is the avenue of practice. So this acute sensitivity, I mean, look at how natural it is that it would happen. I mean, look at what we're doing. You know? We're sitting right near each other, and all...
I'm fixing the bolt.
Oh, no, I'm not going to get any closer. I assure you, this is a calculated distance. So, you know, there's those eyes that pick up. Look at what you're picking up. You know, and me too. It's crazy. And the ears, I can go back over here because the ears work at a distance. And not just you, sweetheart, all of us. Is there anybody that can't relate to that sensitivity? So it's no small deal to bring mindfulness into exactly this sensitivity that does what? Well, the first thing it's going to do is make it more sensitive because you're aware of it. So if we don't cultivate pause, relax, and if we don't seriously throughout the day during our retreat take our times at mealtime and so on to just soften, relax, and settle, it's going to be too much. So continuity of practice is a real protection. This is a refuge in the meditative qualities of mind, a refuge in the Dhamma, refuge in the teachings, knowing what to do, that something is possible, and a refuge in each other, that it's trustworthy. So thanks a lot, and if ever you need space, you can talk to me, and you know, but also make the best of your in-between times to just calm down. Really take walks. I hope you folks are taking walks and being otherwise good to the body, because the sensitive system is expressed not just by a keen mind, but by hormones, neurotransmitters, the whole works. It's all working together. Okay? Sleep. I would think we do ourselves a disservice if we don't acknowledge that the practice we're engaged in is touching deeply into barriers that have been established for good reason. I mean, there's a good reason to keep the world at bay, right? And we all have different strategies. And many of them are very much the same, of course. The patterns of those strategies of keeping the world at bay is like a map of hurt. And to not look away from that. Whether it's by bolting, you know, running away or something. Or, as I said, in the world, there's so much noise that it's not really a problem. We just stay neurotic and it doesn't matter because everyone's neurotic. But then, you know, clearing away some of the surface and we begin to see underneath, and it's like this sensitivity, these barriers. A tender thing being human. And I assure you, it's not just you, it's all of us. You have the, you know, the courage to articulate it, and it's present for you now. But it's the same dynamic for all of us. The world, this mind, this heart, so sensitive. But exactly this, is it not the insight or the beginning of understanding? I mean, this is what the Buddha called dukkha. This is suffering. This is the point.
Feeling a combination of being puzzled and frustrated, and I have a history of at times having intrusive afflictive thoughts come up, images, and I've worked with them in various ways and gotten to a place where I can see it as just a thought. And not identify with it after that first, boom, it kind of diminishes and I see it in perspective. And on the retreat, with pause and relax and accept, and somehow spontaneously, I also, what came in was a sense of love, a space of love. And really very, very nice, just kind of being held. And and I was being very grateful and for that, sincerely grateful. And, the next session came up again. And I got into, and I wasn't afraid, I didn't feel fear, which once upon a time I would. And I got into, something was going on because I was trying to, so how do I dance with this? How can I really accept and stay with and just let something emerge? Because I want to fix it. I want to do something about it. And I know. But so in terms of skillful, being skillful, in terms of waiting and patience, I just didn't go there.
Yeah.
On top of that, I was kind of tired, and I don't know if I was just shutting down as well.
Yeah.
But I'd be interested in any feedback.
Mm. 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 Yeah. It's interesting to hear you refer to the tiredness, which you also spoke, a couple of you spoke of. So if I could just start by pointing out that perhaps some of us, maybe all of us, are actually working pretty hard. There's not a lot of space to run away. When you sit silently at a retreat, you can spend most of the time in the Bahamas, not a problem. You do that in front of someone else, and aside from being feeling like it's rude or something, you don't really want to. You want to show up. So the virya, the energy in this practice, the consistency of effort, can be quite extraordinary. And as a result of that, sometimes for some of us, the development of the meditative qualities, but also the development of what is known in practice, can be accelerated. Do you understand what I'm saying? That just by virtue of staying in practice, and when there is this tiredness or sort of coming to some kind of frayed edge, then it can easily be the case, it is often the case, that the capacity to just be present with something kind of falls apart. It's just easier to fall in and do something about it or react or, you know, through self-judgment or running away or hating the teacher. Or...
Never.
Oh yeah, I believe that. Or you're blaming your partner. You know, there's a million things you could do. Oh, she's not meditating well. This is lousy. Whatever, dude. So it's all kinds of places we can go. But sometimes tiredness will do that. So in such times, I would really counsel kindness. Just lighten up. You know, let there be a kind of a gentler sati, gentler mindfulness. Perhaps touch the joy of just being with someone outside of social agenda. And relax a little bit. Sometimes that's the right thing to do. You know, my first teacher, Anagarika Dhammadina, spoke often of the pendulum, you know. Sometimes concentration can be quite strong, but if you, you know, then try to hold that or something and don't just allow the natural rising and falling, you're going to get suffering for sure. So we're one day into retreat. I think we can relax a little bit. But it sounds like you're doing really, really good practice. That spontaneous arising of metta, of loving kindness, is touching into, you know, one of those natural capacities that gets buried, eh? Yeah. So I'm really, really happy for you in that. Yeah.